The 17th, Sunday morning, and we're going to be turning to Matthew chapter 4. Get your Bibles out. We're going to go several scriptures, but Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to we're going to go to verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say. From what time was he talking about here? Well, if you read before there, he was baptized of John the Baptist and received his anointing and his calling into ministry at that time, and was driven of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he hungered and he went through the temptation in the wilderness. Then he goes and moves from his hometown of Nazareth, and he moves to Capernaum, which was a city by the sea, Galilee. And he began his ministry. Right here is when he began his ministry. And the first thing you any human beings heard Jesus say out of his mouth before he did ever did a miracle, public miracle, was these words: repent. This was what he said. He said, repent. Now the Amplified, the word repent means change your mind for the better. Heartily amend your ways and with abhorrence of your past sins. Now that's what repentance is. That's when you've been going one direction, thinking a certain way, doing things a certain way, acting a certain way, and all of a sudden you realize, well, this ain't right. I think I better find out what's right. And you in other words, you get rid of all the stinky thinking and you decide, I'm gonna find out what's right. And I'm going to do a different way. You know, you cannot repent until you know what you're doing is wrong. You know that? You cannot repent. What can you repent of if you don't know you're wrong? Well, if you think you're okay, you ain't going to repent. If everything's hunky-dory, you ain't going to repent. Your mind for the better. For the better. See, God will never tell you to do something. Jesus went and he said to repent. These people knew exactly what he was talking about. They understood he was talking about change your ways. Change your ways. Repent. And then he says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now the next thing that happened in this chapter is in verse 18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren. So he's just now, he's just stepping into his ministry. And that's what he's saying to everybody. He's running into, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You're getting ready to see the heaven, the kingdom of heaven demonstrated. You're getting ready to see heaven. You're getting ready to see the kingdom of heaven. I'm talking not just God the judge, the Jehovah God that the Jews knew. We're talking about knowing God as Father, the kingdom of heaven being revealed, the reality of the king, what's really going on in heaven. You know, did you know the Jews, I've heard this several times in the past few months, the Jews under the old covenant did not know there was a real devil. They never really had ever been taught there were real demons. Do you know why? He couldn't have done anything about the devil. So God never revealed the devil to them and their authority. They had no authority over the devil back in the old covenant. They had no authority over the devil. So when Jesus shows up in the earth, there's a lot of people possessed with devils. There's a lot of people in bondage to a lot of stuff. And he was getting ready to reveal the kingdom of heaven and what was available to people through who he is. Because, see, there was nobody else but Jesus walking the earth at that time who could reveal the kingdom. Today, you and I can reveal the kingdom because that's the great commission on our lives. But at that time, nobody could anywhere in the face of planet earth reveal the kingdom of heaven to other people except Jesus. One man. Just one man. And from an obscure village, nobody knew him. 30 years old, nobody knew him except his family. And he's the only man on planet Earth who could reveal the truth about the kingdom of heaven. The only man who had authority over the devil. The only man who could speak to the mountains. The only man who could get a prayer answered from the throne of God. The only man on the earth who could do that. The only man. I want you to see this. There was no one else who could do the works that Jesus did. Nobody. In fact, until he was anointed of the Holy Ghost and came out of the River Jordan, there was nobody anointed with the Holy Ghost like he was. He was given the Holy Ghost without measure because he is the Son of God. God pronounced, "You are my beloved Son." He was made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He was destined for this purpose. This was his high call to come into the earth to reveal God. Not just Jehovah God. Moses revealed the law, but grace and mercy and truth came by Jesus Christ. So he just got to see this. He just came into his ministry. And listen to this. I know this is why God is telling me to read the gospel. Because this is you can see how Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Everything he did, he heard from God before he did it. Every move he made, everything he did, he got instructions by the Holy Ghost. He had a hotline to heaven. He began to see that God was his Father. God began to reveal the scriptures to him and reveal to him who he was. In Psalm 16, this is Psalm 16 where David wrote, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand, I'll make your enemies my footstool." You know, there was a lot of things that Jesus already knew because he was a scholar of the Word. He studied the Word. Remember where they found him in the temple at the age of 12? Studying with the rabbis? He knew. And then it began to be revealed to him who he really, what his call, what his mission in the earth was. And you know what he did? He accepted it. Aren't you glad he did? One solitary life has changed the entire world. So here he is. We find him now moving from Nazareth, his hometown, everybody he knew, and he moves to Capernaum. First thing he says is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. I don't know about you, but I kind of grew up as a child listening to this story. All the little songs we used to sing in nursery. It's a little church when I was a little girl. Little tiny girl. Kindergarten. And in my mind, I just see this little old dinghy boat. Just a little old dinghy boat. Fishing. You know, fishing, you think of somebody casting a line. In that time, fishing was not like it is today. It was hard work, and they had to toil, and they fished at night because that's when the fish were the best to catch. And they had big ships. They weren't little bitty ships. They had to be maintained. It was usually a family operation. It was usually every man on deck was important. Everybody was needed in the operation. It wasn't something you could just say, "Oh, Dad, I'm sleeping in today. We got to eat. We got bills to pay. We got things to do. We're in a business. This is a business adventure, a family thing. Life and death is involved here. This is their livelihood." They had never heard, "My God will supply all your needs according to riches and glory." They didn't have that provision. They didn't have Jesus like we know Jesus today. They didn't have churches on every corner. So they had to work. And so Jesus sees these two men and he says something to them. And they're out there working. They had big nets and they would cast the nets out all night and then they would pull them in. Sometimes they didn't catch anything. It wasn't anything guaranteed. And they didn't have a check they could count on. They didn't have anything but their own ability. Here comes a man. Here just comes a man out of the blue. Never laid eyes on him in their life. Never saw him before. And you know what he says to them? "Come follow me." But now remember, there was a man named John the Baptist who had been preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," right? And all of Judea went out and was baptized of John. No doubt these men had also heard that there's a Messiah coming. He's coming. And everybody was baptized of John, and everybody took John as a prophet. Remember John, the guy that was crazy living in the wilderness with locusts and wild, eating locusts and wild honey and dressed in camel fur and screaming out there and baptizing people all day long? Repent, repent, repent. Told the Pharisees, who do you think you are coming here, you bunch of snakes? The religious leaders, he called them snakes. So the people would really admired John for his boldness. And it's, I'm sure he, and John had disciples. John had followers who helped him. He wasn't out there baptizing people 100 times a day. He had lots of people working for him, baptizing people. Because it said the multitudes came from all Judea to be baptized of John, repenting of their sins. He was like getting their hearts prepared. Do you know you and I do the same thing in people's lives? Whether you realize it or not, there's a John the Baptist in every single believer. We're out here speaking into people's lives. Repent. Get ready. There's one coming that's mightier than I, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to loose. He's coming. Get ready to meet the King, the Messiah, the King of kings and Lord of lords. So I know I've mellowed a lot of hearts out in my ministry life. And I've been in ministry life 33 years. I know I've been a follower of Jesus for a long time. And the greatest call on our lives is to be what Jesus is doing right here. And I want to show you. He says, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 17. Let's jump down to the next verse. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So I'm reading last night, and I was reading this morning, but mainly last night after I got home, and this came, just jumped out at me. Jesus is calling the believer, well, not just the believer, but everybody, follow me. Follow me. And it says that, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Just, I don't know if they packed the lunch. I don't know if they took any clothes. I don't know if they said goodbye, Dad, goodbye, Mom. They just straightway. I mean, they didn't make arrangements. They didn't worry about if the kids got clothes. Peter was married. Do I need to go home and do it? No. Straightway, they left everything and they followed him. There was an urgency on their lives to follow Jesus. I was like, would we have done that? I mean, really, would we have done that? I've done that, Lord. If I was Peter and I'm out there working, I'm all tied up in this business and I got this big business adventure and I know my dad needs me and I know people need me, and would I have been so willing to straightway leave everything for Jesus? We all like to think, oh yeah, I would. I don't know that I would. These guys did. It could be that things were so tough. It could be that the fishing was so bad. It could be that all hope seemed hopeless in their life. It could be that nothing else mattered anymore, that they had already tried everything. They had ever exhausted everything and every idea and every witty invention they could come up with. Maybe they had done everything they could possibly do to survive and nothing was working. I found out that's the people who usually follow Jesus. And nothing else, they figured it out. What? Nothing else is going to work. I might as well follow this man. I can't catch nothing else. My shoes are worn out. My clothes have got holes in them. My car ain't running. Nothing's working. Maybe I should follow this guy. What else could happen? What else could take place? That's when people usually follow Jesus. When they're rock bottom. When they've come to the end of their rope. When there's no place else to run for help. When there's nothing else more you can do in this life to get a relief. You'll turn to Jesus. And he comes along and he says, follow me. Dance with me. Follow me. Follow me. And guess what? You find people in that kind of situation, they straightway will leave everything. When I came to Jesus, that's pretty much where I was. I left everything for him. I remember thinking, my mom and dad would think I've lost my mind. Oh yeah, they did. On a regular basis, Daddy would come down, come in my house, sit down, girl. Sit down right here. Pull up chair and says, now you've got to settle down here. You've done lost your mind. You done went religious crazy on everybody. And you just got to stop this. You want him to come and take you away in a straitjacket? Do you? Is that what you want? And he was serious. Is that what you want, honey? Is that what you want? And you just got to stop this. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And he was wringing his hands and I'm saying, Dad, you're going to take you away, my baby girl. They planned family outings without me. Why? Because I'm following Jesus. I went to Kings Island one year, a couple years after I got saved. Even took my kids, secretly. My whole family, my sisters, my cousins, my aunts, everybody. Guess who didn't go? You know why? Because I witnessed to everybody. And a man that I never heard or never seen that told me everything I ever did. Come find a man. Come meet this man that I know. Come follow Jesus. I found a man who told me everything I ever did. Who knows everything about me. He's going to come and take me home. There's a real kingdom of heaven. I mean, just like that. Just like that little woman at the well. And I got a drink of something. And I ain't never stopped drinking. I got a drink that day in my kitchen. And honey, I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to hang on to this anointing. And I want more. I want your presence all the time. I don't ever want to walk a day. I don't ever want to wake up a day and not know where you went to. I want to know where you are every second of every day. Lord, I want to know that I'm in your presence. I want to know that your eyes are upon me and your ears open to my prayers. He said, the Lord is nigh unto them that be of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Lord, let me be as broken and contrite the rest of my life that I can be so you will be nigh to me. Be nigh to me. Think on me. The Lord thinketh upon me. I know he thinks about me. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, Teresa. It's personal with me. Didn't start out that way, but it is now. I'm under his care. I'm under his supervision. I'm under his direction. I'm under his leadership. And it's about following him. Amen. Not me. Not my ways. Not my wants. Not my wishes. Not my desires. I don't tell God how to do anything. He's way bigger than me. He knows way more than I know. And I learn from experience. Just do it his way. It's easier. Much easier. So I've learned to follow him. I'm like these Peter and James and John and Matthew, Bartholomew, all those men who left everything. Even followed him to the cross. Left everything. Followed Jesus. It's a life of service. It's a life of servitude. It's a humble life. It's a way of living. It's not something I just put on and take off. It's a living way. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You see, I just can't choose to do what I want to do anymore. I can't just choose to be good if I want to be good. And I choose to be bad today, or I'll choose to be bad. I've got to choose him every day. I follow him. I follow Jesus. And there's so many things that he will teach us. You know, the word says in John that you have no need that any man teach you. But that same anointing will teach you all things. That's a truth. Now, I'm glad for preachers, teachers, evangelists, and all the gifts of the ministry that God has put in the earth and people. But there's something that's valuable to me, and that's the ministry of the anointing of the Holy Ghost in my life who teaches me all things. Amen. All things. All things. All things are yours, he said in one place. All things. In one place in the Old Testament, he says, did I not say you are gods? Another place in Isaiah, he says, concerning the works of my hands, command you me. Serving God is serving God. I don't care how you cut it, you got to serve God. He's got to be first place. One thing I know about the Lord, he's a jealous God, and he will not let you serve any. If you're going to serve him, you just better just serve him. Just serve him. Make yourself available to him every day. Say, Lord, here I am. My day belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Jesus said, this is what Jesus told him at the Sermon on the Mount. He said, who of you, by taking thought can add to your height one cubit. Who? Anybody around? No, you know anybody that they think hard enough, they pray hard enough, they fast long enough that they can make themselves taller because they want to? Or can I change my hair white or black because I want to? He said, if you can't do the littlest of things, if you can't do something little, why do you take thought for all these other things in life? Why do you worry? Why do you worry about it? Why do you worry about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to drink or what I'm going to wear? He said, your Father knows what you have need of. But see, the key is he your Father? And do you know him as Father? Because when you follow Jesus, the Son, you become a joint heir in Christ. He becomes your Savior. Following Jesus is not just about him being my Savior. It's him being my Lord. Because following him is serving him. He then makes you something called a disciple. A disciple is someone that is under mentorship, under training. You're being discipled. You're being educated. You're being trained. You're being taught something. You know, if I wanted to be I wanted to learn the skills of a pipe fitter. My daddy was a pipe fitter. My dad had like a third grade education, but he became a master at pipe fitting. How did he do that? How did he become a pipe fitter and be so masterful with only three years of schooling? How? He said under somebody who taught him. He was a disciple of somebody who knew the trade, who knew all about it, right? If you're going to be a disciple of the Lord, and you're going to be a servant to the King, and you're going to go to heaven, you've got to get prepared for heaven. Most people are not going to go to heaven when the trumpet sounds. There's going to be a lot of Christians who are going to be surprised. There's going to be so many weights and so many sins that have kept you back. It's time to get off. In Hebrews, that does not say, cast aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. Hebrews 12:2. Cast aside every weight, every sin that just easily besets you, and run the race with patience. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. This is for me this morning. This is the message the Lord gave me and is giving me. Even as I speak, I got before the Lord this morning. I said, Lord, this is your people. It ain't my people. They're your people. I'm just here to serve. I'm serving dinner. I just serve dinner. Supper time. When you come to church, you hear a word from God. You need to expect that out of your ministry. You need to expect that out of your church. Wherever you go to church, you better get a word from God. Fresh bread out of heaven. There ain't nothing better than fresh bread. I hate stale bread. Don't you love going to a church that gives you a fresh word straight out of the kingdom? Oven. Woo! Glory, nothing better. Slapping on that butter and that hot bread. It smells so good. And it feeds you. Yes. It feeds you. I hate going to church feeling worse than I came. It makes you feel that you're special. Mm-hmm. And you are. Amen. But this is a timely word. And it's a word that we've got to see that Jesus is calling us to follow him. Mm-hmm. Now, is he going to make you go somewhere like the Amazon? Darts kill you. You know, I mean, a lot of times people get the feeling that, oh, God's going to ask me to do something I just can't do. There's one thing I do know about the Lord. He'll never ask you to do anything that you're not able to deal with it. He'll never ask. He said, I'll never put more on you can bear. Doesn't it say that? He's faithful. Make a way out. Always makes a way out. He's faithful. So he goes there and he says this to them, and I just think that is so amazing. And so immediately they left their ship and they followed him. Now I want to take you to a few more places here. It's getting late. Oh, glory to God. St. John chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Once more, Jesus addressed the crowd. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not be walking in the dark, but will have the light which is life. See, there's something called Zoe. Zoe is eternal life. Eternal life lives in you, the believer. Eternal life. It begins right in here, in the inner man. And so he says these words, and he says, you know, you're not going to, if you'll follow me, this is the key though. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I don't care how dark my times have ever been in this life. I don't care how dark things have looked. I don't care how bad things have seemed. I don't care how bad the devil's screaming in my face. You know you're a true follower of Jesus. And you are following the Lord. You all know this is true. You've been serving God very long. You know this is true. You just look past that darkness. And you keep your eyes on Jesus, don't you? Haven't you just finally learned your lesson? He's the light of the world. You just don't pay no attention to the devil. You get to, your voice of the devil is not as big as the voice of the Lord. You just learn who you trust, right? They that trust in the Lord shall mount up as wings as eagles, right? Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. I will remember the name of the Lord. I had fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's a place in your heart when you're following Jesus. You just get to the place that He's your rock. He's your fortress. He's your God. In Him do you trust. I will look into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I can boldly say the Lord will never leave me. And I don't care what people do or say to me. You see, that's a follower. You get to the place where you're anchored in your heart. You know that He's not going to let you alone. He loves you too much to fail you and let you just go off anywhere. The Lord chastens those that He loves. He's a good father. You belong to Him. You hook up with Him. I'm going to tell you what. You ain't had a whooping yet. You're going to get one before it's over from Jesus. Because He's like a good daddy. Almighty Father God will correct His children. He will correct you. He will set you down. And He will spank your behind. And He'll tell you just what you're doing wrong. Thank God He does. Be happy He does. Be thankful if you belong to Him. The Word says, let everyone who nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's a commandment. If you name in the name of Jesus as your Savior, you better depart from iniquity. If you don't, God will get you. He will get you. He'll take a big old switch and wear you out and set your behind down and say, now you sit right there and don't you get time out. You got time out, girl. He disciplines us because we're disciples. He'll straighten your little gun right out. He'll straighten you out. He'll fix your, but he'll straighten out what's wrong with you. Now, some people still don't want to listen, and they'll rebel and they'll run. But I'm telling you, God knows how to get our attention. And He'll get your attention. He will get your attention. Amen. He gets my attention. When I'm doing something wrong, you know what? I've got Philippians chapter 4 to prove this to you. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if I be any other wise minded, God shall reveal even this unto me. That's a fact. God will reveal to you if you're going the wrong way. He'll reveal to you what you're doing wrong. He'll show you. He's not a man that can, He cannot lie. You know, it's impossible for God to lie. I commit my ways unto the Lord and He will establish your thoughts. Commit yourself to the Lord and He will establish your thoughts. There are so many promises in the Word of God. How can you overlook them? How can you not see? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And in chapter 8, the same chapter, let's go to verse 32 or 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We sing that song. I am free to run. I am free to dance. I am free. You know what makes you free? His word makes you free. It's His word that keeps you free. It's His word. You cannot depart from the word of God and think you're going to stay free. You can't. Line up with that word. Line up on line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Praise God. Heard a message. I didn't really get to hear it all, by Creflo Dollar yesterday. I was trying to listen to it while I was moving with my MP3 player. And I try to put one. I'm driving. I got one in one ear with the plug. And then I'm driving trying to hear traffic because, you know, I don't want to be If someone wants to blow a horn at me, I need to hear that, right? So I'm listening to MP3 player, and Creflo Dollar was preaching on how to hear from God. I said, I'd like to hear that. How do you hear from God? He says, you want to hear from God? Start praying in tongues. Start praying in tongues. I mean, I can't even see that thing. I'm driving. I'm just plugging in. I'm just pumping and doing this little click thing. And all of a sudden, I said, well, there's Creflo Dollar. Listen to what he's got to say. I'm going to teach you how to hear from God. And I didn't get to hear the whole message, but the main thing he was saying was this. And I know this. I know this. I'm sharing it with y'all in case y'all don't know this. He said, if you will pray in tongues, if you will pray in tongues, the word says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries.
Amen.
And another place he says, if you speak in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself. Now, I don't know about y'all, but my battery gets low on my cell phone, especially as much as I talk on it. And I got to charge that thing up. When you walk around in life and you got to deal with this and you got to deal with that, your battery, your spiritual battery gets low and you got to charge. Sometimes you got to hear from God. You got to get direction from God. You got to get your spirit pumped up. I keep my battery full. I keep my spiritual battery full. And you know why I do? Because I was called to follow Jesus. And you know what he said he would do? He would make me a fisher of men. That's the whole thing is that the Lord has got a plan for your life and my life. And if you do not hear from God, you cannot follow him and you cannot fulfill the plan that he has for your life. You'll never fulfill the call and the plan and the thing that he designed you to be and to do. And if you cannot hear from him every single day, you will miss it every time. And the prayer in the Spirit is one way God gave the church to stay connected and to stay hooked up to heaven, that you can pray in the Spirit and you can speak divine secrets, divine mysteries, and you can interpret what you pray. You can hear from God. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. You can pray a perfect prayer in the Spirit. When you don't know how to pray in your head, the Holy Ghost knows exactly how to pray about that situation every time. You got to fulfill your call on this earth. You were called to follow him. That's what we are. We're following Jesus. We're disciples. That's what we are. And if you don't hear from him, you can't possibly fulfill that call. You can't. It'd be like trying to be a pipe fitter and not even be, and be deaf and can't get no instruction. Can't I figure that out? God does not just throw you his manual and tell you to just learn it. He's there to teach you every step of the way. He will sit along beside you. He said, I will guide thee with mine eye. You are written and engraven in the palm of my hand. See, I'm known of God. I don't just know God. I'm known of God. He sees me. His eyes are upon me. His ears are open to my prayers. Ooh, glory to God. I'm a disciple. I'm learning. I'm being mentored. I'm being trained. I'm being educated. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He's teaching me how to do what he called me to do. I'm following Jesus every day. It's something I just did 33 years ago and then I'm on my own. He's with me every single minute, every single day. If you have the him, you have the light of the world. He said, I'm the light of the world, and you won't walk in darkness. You won't stumble. Those that are in the dark, they stumble. They don't know where they're going, but you don't like that. You've got me. You've got the Holy Ghost. You got the Lord in you. Woo! The Holy Spirit, he even told the disciples, says, the Holy Spirit won't even tell you anything except he hears directly from me. He never speaks of himself. He will only speak what I give him to say to you. Ooh, glory to God. My instructions might be different than your instructions. My directions might be different than your directions. He might tell you to go here or go there and be here and do that. But I'm telling you, you got to have an ear to hear God. You better get an ear to hear God. He said, follow me. Follow me. As I was reading the New Testament, how many times did Jesus say, follow me. I'm the way. I'm the way. That's the wrong way. You're going the wrong direction. This is the right way. I'm it. Woo! You want to be blessed? I'm the way. You want to be healed? I'm the way. You want to be taken care of? I'm the way. Woo! I mean, wake up and realize he is your trainer. He's teaching you. He's the great teacher. He's the rabbi. He's my Al Shaddai. He's my all-sufficient one. I could tell you who he is to me, but he needs to be that to you and me. And this be that everybody who believes in him. Glory to God. Let's look at Mark chapter 16. This is the Great Commission. And I want to fulfill this. Lord, I really do want to do this. I want to fulfill the call on my life. Whatever the capacity is, whatever it is, I know that you'll never ask me to do anything. You won't give me the grace to do it. For my God is able to make all grace abound toward me, that I always have all sufficiency in all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know who my God is. He's not a little measly little God who's out there with a little spoon dishing it out. He's a big God who will answer every prayer I pray. Every time. 100%. I love what Pastor Callahan. We want 100%. Because God's 100% God. This is a blessing to me. He blesses me. He answers my prayers. He does you too. He said, I'll bless those that bless me. I'll honor those that honor me. Glory to God. Mark chapter 16. I'm going to start reading with verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen. You know, doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas says, I won't believe except I can thrust my hand in the spear side, or put my fingers through the nails of his hands. I will not believe. And Jesus said, be not doubtless, but believing. And blessed are those that have not seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen me and still believe. Blessed are those who have not seen me and still believe. Verse 14 says, afterward he appeared unto the 11, he sat with me. Now I want to point something out right here that I think is really important. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way or not, but do you know that when Jesus was hung on that cross and became a sacrifice for the human race, he was the only man who walked those 3.5 years with an anointing straight from God, with the Holy Ghost with no limitations. And he was the only one who could deal with the devil on the scene, came on the scene to deal with the devil. In fact, he said the Son of Man was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. He went about destroying the works of the devil. That's what he did. Guess what you and I are going to do if we're going to follow Jesus? We're going to be destroying the works of the devil too. That's what we're called to do. Everything that Jesus did, you and I are supposed to do. We are supposed to be imitators of God as dear children. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, you'll see real quick, boy, this is a whole new way of life. It's a whole new way of thinking. Whole new way. You mean I got to bless those that curse me and pray for those that despitefully use me? What is that? Whole different way of thinking. Like, complete 180 degrees. You just read about Jesus' life and how he dealt with people. But they could never touch him, could they? They went to throw him off the brow. They couldn't touch him. They can't touch you either if you're in Christ. Your life is hid in Christ. So he goes on and he's with them 40 days. He was seen above 500 people witness him alive. Now he is no longer walking around. He looks like a man. He looks like the same Jesus. Doesn't he? Yeah, he's Jesus. There's Jesus. But he has not 1 ounce of blood in his body. You ever met a man that never had any blood walking around talking? Can you imagine? Seeing a man that had died, went to hell, raised from the dead, and literally could walk through the wall. But he told them to touch me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. One place he was eating with them. There were several times he ate with them. And then he vanished. See, that's the kind of body we're getting ready to pick up. We're getting ready to pick up that body. If you're following Jesus, you're getting ready to get the same body. Glory. We're getting ready to see the glory of God in our own flesh. We're getting ready to pick that kind of body up. I like that kind of body. Never get old. Never get tired. Enjoy food. Enjoy living. That's a glorified body. He was the firstborn among many brethren. We're part of the group that's going to be born of many brethren. And we're getting ready to lose gravity. This world is not going to hold the believers down who are following Jesus. And so then what I also want to point out here is that Jesus upbraided them for their hardness of heart and their unbelief before he gets ready to leave. And then he gives them a final commission. with him 3.5 years, right? Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, was the very first things he said to the men on that boat. And he says, and he said unto them, verse 15, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In the Amplified, he said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel to every creature of the whole human race. Angels can't preach the gospel. Angels don't preach the gospel. Guess who preaches the gospel? Disciples preach the gospel. People who are following Jesus preaches the gospel. Those who are hearing from God preach the gospel. I'll tell you, I've never met a sinner going here preaching the gospel effectively. I've seen drunks talk about God, but I'm talking preach the gospel with a purpose. When you're preaching the gospel the way Jesus is telling us to preach the gospel, there's going to be effectiveness going on. When you have the Holy Ghost and you're a tongue talker, especially if you're a tongue talker, especially if you're praying out of the Spirit, praying to God out of your human spirit, and you've got and you're hearing mysteries from God, you've got this flow coming from God, you're hearing God, you're being directed by God, you're a follower, you're taking instructions. I will tell you what's wrong with a lot of Christians is they didn't learn how to obey their parents. Their parents didn't teach them how to submit to authority, so they have a hard time submitting to God's authority or anybody's authority. There's a rebellious, stubborn spirit in some folks, and God will deal with that, just like a good parent should deal with it. I always heard years ago, Suzanne Wesley, John Wesley, the great evangelist from England, his mother said that she taught parents, you better teach your kids how to serve God and follow God when they're little and to do right from wrong. You put into them right from wrong, because what you don't teach them, God will have to teach them the hard way later as they get older. What they don't get when they're little, you don't teach them authority, you don't teach them how to submit, you don't teach them how to obey, you don't teach them stop blaming other people for stuff and whatever else is going on messed up in their life. If you've been given those kids for a reason. I always told my kids, I'm the parent, you're the child. If God didn't want you to have a parent, you would have been hatched like an egg out in the woods somewhere. But God knew you needed a mom who would teach you right from wrong and who would paddle your behind. I love my children. I didn't paddle them because I hated them. I wanted to teach them right from wrong to make life easier for them. The whole thing about teaching your children is to make life easier. Don't go through what I went through. Learn from me. God doesn't want us to suffer. He's not about us suffering. But anyway, the glory of God is this. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, I used to walk around thinking, I got to save these people. Like it was my job to save people. That's why my parents thought I was crazy, because I'd get in people's faces, honey. I'd drag them to church. I'd scare them so bad. I'd say, you know you're going to hell if you don't get saved. Did you know there's a real heaven, there's a real hell? I mean, total strangers up and down the street, everywhere I went. My kids still remember it. They used to run from me in grocery stores. They'd look around, I'd see their heads, and oh, she's coming, run the other way. You remember. My kids, you remember. But even before I met you all, I was worse. I was way worse than when I met you all. Way worse.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I've learned a lot since then. I've learned a lot. You don't just take your Bible and say, come on, Jesus, let's win the world. That's pretty much what I did. But this was the key. This was the key right here. I want you to see this with me. He that believeth, this my job, my call is to do first part of that verse. Go you into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. When I was in Peru, I'm preaching the good news to all those people. When I'm here, I'm preaching the good news. When I'm wherever I go, if I get to preach the good news, I'm doing the Great Commission. I'm doing what he asked me to do with every opportunity. Guess what? He's believed they'll go to hell. If they do believe, guess what? You've won a disciple. Pressure's off of me because it's not up to me to make people believe. It's not up to me. I've done my job. Their job is to believe. Their job is to obey. Their job is to be a follower. I'm doing my part. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm seeking God. I witness. I'm preaching the gospel. Witnessing is the same as preaching the gospel. You witness the people. You witness. Everybody probably witnesses somebody. But then the pressure's off. You've done your part. Now they've got a little heart inside of them that's got to say, you know, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs will follow. I don't have to conjure this all up. I don't have to crank a crank and make this happen. I don't have to push a button. I don't have a magic formula. These signs just follow those that believe, that are following Jesus. They just follow you. You can just walk around and let it splash off on other people. Just do what you're supposed to be doing, and the signs will follow you. And guess really, the signs follow the word. The signs follow the word. That word's anointed. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If you're full of the word, you're full of God. And it will follow you. The signs will be manifested. You will. You have to say nothing. Sometimes I don't have to say anything. I can just walk into a room and people can feel that anointing. And as the Holy Ghost leads me, see, I'm being led. I'm led of God. He said, I'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Spend some time studying that. Praise God. Have y'all been fed today? I'm not hard. But it is hard. Jesus said, I'll liken to a man who will listen to my teachings. He's like a man who dug deep and found a foundation on rock. And he laid his foundation right there. He said, now this is where I can build. I can build right here. Solid. This is heaven. Thank you, Father. Lord, I seal this word today. And thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name.